take your copy of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and following, the last section in this first series. Ephesians divides evenly, first three chapters, doctrinal, foundational truths to us, and then chapters 4, 5, and 6, then practical applications. So beginning next week, we'll begin that series, Living Like We Believe It. And so Paul's given us a lot of great, solid, encouraging doctrine. And so the next week we begin the second half, then the so what part of that. But today in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, I don't know about where you grew up or if you ever did much mud, but I grew up in small town Texas, and it seemed like every year or so, some friends of mine would find ourselves somewhere with some mud that already existed or some mud that we created, right? And little boys with mud, if no one is there to tell them not to, it's amazing how head to toe you can cover yourself with mud, in your nose, in your ears, in your mouth, every possible place you can get that mud. And it just, as a little boy, it feels so, so good. And I remember that somehow my mom would always see me coming home on those days, and she'd stop me, and she'd say, "Not, don't you even think about it. We're going to the back porch, and I don't care if the neighbors are looking. You're going to get washed down, and I mean washed down everywhere, because the mud is everywhere." But that picture came to mind this week as I was thinking about this passage, because that Paul wants us to know Christ for sure. But then as believers, he wants us to just get covered head to toe and inside and out with the power of the living God. So I'm going to need some help today. I mean, if you got something that strikes you as exciting today from the Word, I want to hear about it today, okay? So it's okay to make a little noise today. But we're going to read Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And now to him who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." So the first here, Paul's been trying to start this prayer, and then he keeps getting sidetracked by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he's going to pick back up on the prayer. He says, "For this reason," all that he's been telling them, all of these doctrinal truths. And then he finished last time saying, "I know I'm in jail, but I'm in jail for the gospel, so just don't worry about it. I'm fine. Don't worry about getting me out of jail. Worry about, let's spread the gospel." And so he says, "So for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father from whom every family on the earth, in heaven, gets its name." And he then says, "This is what I want for you." Verse 16, he says, "I'm asking God that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory." So then he's got three things that he's asking under this little subheading here. He says, "I'm asking God that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be, first, strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." Now, it's interesting here, the strengthened with power. A cognate, sometimes it's across languages, but a cognate is a word that sounds like another word, even though it's slightly different. And so when he says strengthened with power, you've probably heard this before, but this particular power is the same word from which we get our word dynamite. So that's powerful. But the word strengthened is a cognate for a different word for strengthened and for power. And so he's kind of double saying it. "I'm praying that you may be powerfully strengthened with his power." And so that's the Holy Spirit just using Paul's understanding there to say, I really want to give an emphasis here that you'd be powerfully strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, so we stop with the through his Spirit. As believers, if you come to know Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. I can't understand that exactly. I can't explain it exactly. But that was what he promised, and that's what is true. When you are what the Bible calls born again, the Spirit of the living God comes to live inside of you. And so things begin changing. They have to change. Perfection, no, not till we get to heaven's gates. But you can't take the Holy Spirit of God, put him inside of you, and nothing at all ever change. And so you begin to think differently, and the Spirit begins to whisper in your heart and your ear, and he warns you about things. He encourages you about things. You read the God, and all of, you read the Word, and all of a sudden, the day before you become a Christian, it kind of makes little sense here and there, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, and you read with the Spirit living inside of you. So the Spirit comes to live inside of us, but then, daily, we are to be filled with the Spirit. And here, he says he wants us to be strengthened with the Spirit. So that happens when we're with the Spirit, spending time daily in his Word. Because he's given us his Word, he speaks to us through the Word, spending time daily with him in prayer, communicating with him. It's the same with marriage. You know, you get married, and 32 years ago, I got married. I thought I knew Kathy, but it's daily time together that now, of course, I know her. You'd say the same thing, know her 1,000 times more than I did 32 years ago. When you spend time with someone, you know them, and when you try to push out the things that will keep you from being filled daily and strengthened so that you can open yourself for the things that will strengthen you daily, you know, you can only put so many things in a bag, right? You got to choose which is going to go in there. It's the same with our hearts being filled, strengthened with the Spirit. We try to say no to the things that keep the Spirit from being able to fill us and strengthen us, and then to say yes to making decisions. Every time you make a decision, it's like building that muscle of yielding to the Spirit. Every time you make a decision to go God's way, you are allowing yourself to be strengthened. Every time you're with him in word, in prayer, all of these things. Strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Not just physical strength. I mean, God gives physical strength. He's given you strength to get up and to get here today. And he gives us strength to work. He gives us the strength to do the things that are our responsibility. But he says, I want you to find strength in the inner man, the part that no one can see. I want you to have a strength that is from that's beyond you. That you are, when God sends the situations in life your way, you're able to walk through them, not because you pulled yourself up by your own bootstrap. Not because you did it in your own strength, but there's something beyond you. And that's what Paul wants for us as well. That's what we have at our fingertips if we'll allow the Lord to do this in us. One simple way, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, but it came to mind again this week. One simple way, when you're down, when you're frustrated, when you're overwhelmed, and you don't really want to do the things that you need to do in life, and you begin to think about how things are, you could just simply ask yourself this question: how can I glorify God? I try to do that. And it's amazing how that will reshape the way that I'm thinking, because it's pretty easy for us to start thinking about how I'm doing, how I feel, how I this. But even just that simple exercise of asking myself, how can I glorify God, begins to get me to thinking about what God could do in me in this situation. So he says, I want you. I want this God that you've come to know. I want him to be strengthening you from the inner man, that part that no one sees, that part where God gives you the grace and the strength to get through a situation. So he says, I want you to be strengthened with power in your inner man so that, verse 17, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I mean, if you come to know Christ as your Savior, he's there, but he says, so I want that for you. And if you're here today and you say, I don't know for sure that I know Christ. I'm religious. I belong to this religion, this church. I believe there's a God. But you couldn't say, I know that if I died today, I'd spend eternity with God in heaven. Don't let another day pass. We're not guaranteed another day. Come today and place your faith in Christ. But then even as believers, that he may dwell, live in our hearts through faith. Again, our exercise of faith in him is part of that process of allowing him to do what he wants to do inside our hearts. And he says, not only that, but, and I think that really that Christ dwelling in my heart is part of that inner man strengthening, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. We don't know what to do with the word love, you know, in the church, and we men really don't know what to do with love. We think that you may be rooted and grounded in love, and is that a Hallmark card, or, you know, what does that, you know, look like to be rooted and grounded in love? Well, we know that greater love has no man than this, that one gave up his life for his friends. We know that love is not a feeling, it is a decision. And so when this is happening, when Christ is strengthening my inner man, when he is dwelling in me by faith, then it can begin to change the way that I think and get my mind off of me and onto you. And then I'm able to begin to do like Christ did and decide to love others with an action, not just with an emotion. So Paul says, I'm wanting this Christ that you've come to know, I want him to get down into the very core of who you are. He says, I don't want you to experience religion. If Paul could look ahead to America, imagine what he'd write to us. He'd say, oh, wow, no. I'm not talking about a Christianity where you just go to church, you might pray over a meal depending on who's at the table, and then you probably know where your Bible is, but that's about it. He says, yeah, you're just walking by the outside of the buffet and just kind of waving at it. He says, I want you to get in there, and I want him to get in you. Paul says, I want you guys to experience a new life in Christ because it's been provided for you on the cross. And now the Holy Spirit of God, you're looking back again at that Old Testament Holy of Holies, all of that is living inside of you. And he says, but he would say to us, but some of us, we're saying no to it. And I want it to get down deep into your heart. But then look at this, verse 17. He says, verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend. Your version may say different words there, but here's what this word comprehend means. It was a word, your version may say grasp, and that's good as well. But it was a word that was used to conquer a city. He says, I want you to not just, it's not comprehend like we think, oh, got it, I understand that. He says, no, I want you to grab a hold of some of these truths. I want you to conquer some of these truths so that you truly understand it. And are you going to do it alone? He says, no, with all the saints. And you see, we're meant to live Christianity in group, in community. Yes, there's a part of it that's individual. No, you've got to have your quiet time every day by yourself. We're not going to come show up and do that. I guess we could, but it's going to be awkward like that, right? Because you got weird pajamas and stuff like that. Back on the notes. Okay, so, but beyond that, there's something that happens when believers are experiencing these things together. So you're in a life group. You're able to talk about the word. You're able to give testimony, spending time with other believers, doing life together, being in one another's homes, all of these things, and then certainly corporately as well. He says, I want you guys, and he's building up to the church, and then he's going to talk about how the church is to live in these next chapters. But I want you to grab a hold of, to conquer these truths together as a church. He's basically saying, I want y'all to have church and it really do something. I want y'all to have church and you go home going, wow, together we really learned more about God today. And this brother over here was experiencing something that really changed me today. And this sister over here, she shared something in life group about God and what she's experienced. And that really rocked me today. And together then we came to corporate worship and God moved and worked. And we went home saying, wow. He says, I don't want you to have boring church. I don't want you to just say, well, we got to go to church today. He said, I want you to look forward to being with the people of God because together you're going to start grasping these things. And what does he want us to grasp? He says, everything else he's just said, but I want you to grasp with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And he doesn't even tell us of what, right? So Paul doesn't finish that sentence exactly, but we know what he's talking about because he leads into it in the next sentence. And to know the love of God. So he wants us, he says, together, yes, as individuals. And see, that's what church is supposed to be, is a culmination of what you and I experience all week. So we come together to celebrate it, strengthen each other to go back out and do Christianity, to live with the Lord through the week, so that we don't come in here empty and have to spend an hour of life groups, an hour of worship, and by the time we finish, we're kind of back hobbling, you know, in our Christianity. No, we want to come in here. We've been living with Christ all week. And then we culminate, and it's worship. And it's talking about how good God is. And he says, I want you, and he just uses this description here. I want you to get every potential measurement, breadth and length and height and depth. I just want you guys to discover everything about God and his love. He says, I want you. He says, I want to find the weakest. This is my paraphrase. I think Paul'd say, I want to find the, using this term, the weakest believer in your group. And when I poke them during the week, I want Jesus to come out. I just want you guys to be so full of the Lord that when you get poked at work, Jesus comes out. When you get poked in the neighborhood, Jesus comes out. When you get poked in traffic, oh no. Man. Well, never mind. I was talking about y'all there for a while, but now. But you get the point. I just want you to be so full that it's just Jesus everywhere, not in a weird way, not just in a normal way. He says, "I want you to get it all," and he goes on one more verse in this first section, and he says, "I want you to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge." Isn't that a crazy phrase? Because he says, there's knowledge. I want you to get something that surpasses knowledge. Now, there's a lot of knowledge in this room. There's some smart folks in this room. I mean, my skill set is like holding doors, carrying boxes, you know, things like that. But there's some smart folks in here. And he says, I want you to know much more than you ever thought you could know. I want you to get more than a PhD in Jesus. I want you to get more than a PhD in the Holy Spirit. I want you to get something that goes way beyond the knowledge of those who think they've discovered everything. That you would be, as the scripture says, wiser than your teachers, wiser than those who consider themselves wise. Because in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, the foolishness of God, and there is none, but he's speaking hyperbolically there, even if there was a little bit of foolishness of God, it's wiser than man. And so you can be the most uneducated person in the room, but you can have a PhD in Jesus, and you will surpass knowledge. Surpassing knowledge that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Here he goes again. It's redundant. Filled up to all the fullness of God. He just can't find enough ways to say it. He says, my prayer for you is that you just be full, full, full of the Holy Spirit and of the Lord. Is that true in your life? Is that true in my life? None of us are there and have no room to grow, right? But could we ask God with Paul, could we be filled up with the fullness? Because here's the deal, right? Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. How all that works, we can talk about it forever and ever. But he was still 100% God. But he lived as a man seeking to follow the Father, same God. But Jesus gave us an example. And really, I think God would say to us, don't say to yourself, you can't have on this earth the kind of walk with me that Jesus did. Now, you're not Jesus. You're still battling a sin nature that's still in you, even though you've been born again. But some of us can kind of start to think, yeah, you know, I think the mediocre, I'll contract for a C in Christianity. And Paul said, don't do that. There are no limits to what God would do in you if you'd seek to be full with the fullness of God. But then he goes on. In verse 20, not only is he praying that they'd be full of this God, now Paul's going to tell us a little bit about this God that he wants them to be full of. And it's an incredible thing. Paul, again, he's praying, and he gets to verse 20, and he just can't get to the bottom of how he wants to describe who God is. And this is a rich, rich verse. It's some of you, it's your favorite verse, I know. But he says, now to him. So he's ending this prayer. And here we're going to get a huge dose of doctrine in the ending of Paul's prayer. Now to him who is able. Now this is the same word, that the dynamite word. So here he says, to him who has dynamite ability, explosive ability, and we're going to skip a few words here because I want to work this out with you here. He says, he's got dynamite ability to do what you ask or think. Okay? So if Paul had ended his prayer there and just said, your God has dynamite ability to do what you ask or think, that would be incredible. That would be more than anybody else in all the earth. But that's not all he says. He says, let me explain that a little bit more to you. He says, he this God who I want you to be full of, he has dynamite. He's able to do far more. So he said, let's back this up. I want to tell you that you've got a God who has dynamite ability to do more than you ask or think. You say, whoa, more than we ask or think. That's pretty crazy. And Paul says, yeah, that's what I'm trying to describe. I wish I could describe God to you. He's got dynamite ability to do more than you ask or think. He said, but really, that's not really all. He says he's got dynamite ability to do far more. Now, more is already more. More is already more than you can ask or think. And he says he's actually got ability to do far more than you could ask or think. So here's my God. This is the God I want you to be full of. Far, and this far more abundantly, really, it's all one compound word here in the Greek. But he says he's got ability to do more, to do far more, and then far more abundantly. What is abundantly? Abundantly, the picture of this word here is when the cup is, you know, when you're trying to get it all the way and see how much you can get before it spills over. He says the abundantly by itself is enough. But it's not just abundantly by itself. It's exceeding abundantly, some of your versions say. It's far more than abundantly. So God can do abundantly everything you ask or think. But he says, really, it's not just that. It's far more abundantly than anything you ask or think. That is an incredible statement. He says, the God that I'm asking that you be full of can do more than you could ever, ever, ever ask or think. And so what do we do with that promise? Sometimes the answer is nothing. Because we're not asking or thinking about all that he can do. I'm really bad about not liking to stop for gas. I'm really, really bad on a road trip at not liking to stop for gas unless it's on the right side of the road. I mean, I'm just bearing my soul with you, but it's embarrassing. It's a quirk. But the left side of the road, that's out of the way. Couple times. There we go. Thank you. We're a support group here. We can be here for each other. There have been a couple times over the years where that was almost a problem. There's been some fumes that have gotten me to a gas station or two over the years. But we do that. God says, I can do far more than you could ever ask or think. Anything. And in our spiritual life, we're a car and we're out of gas and we're pushing it. We're pushing that car. And right over here, there's a gas station. They're running a special today. And the special is, if your name is whatever your name is, you've been one of those that free coffee for someone named Bob or, you know, whatever that is. The special today, whatever your name is, you can get as much gas as you want today. There's no limit. You could take the gas nozzle, and you could just start spraying it all over the parking lot, and it wouldn't matter because that's your gas today. There's no limit to how much gas you could get. And so we're pushing, and we're pushing, and we're Bob, and it's almost there. And what do? We just keep on pushing that car right on past it. And that's what we do in our spiritual life. We're empty. We're dry. And when we read this, and it's neat, wow, my God could do far more, exceeding abundantly, of anything I could ask or think. Boy, that's neat. See you next week. All right? I mean, that's what we do. So what are we asking? What are we thinking? I'd say that your thinking affects your acting, your asking. So what are we thinking about God? Read the scriptures. Read the Old Testament. And read those stories and realize that's the same God to whom we pray. Read about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, that God caused the walls to crumble just because they did exactly what he said to do. And that same God can do more than that today. Read about the parting of the Red Sea. It's impossible. And that's the same God, and he can do more than that today in your life. Read about David and Goliath. Impossible. No way. And God won, and he can do far more than that in your life today. Read in the New Testament about him healing the sick and the lame. And if he chooses to, he could do that in your life today. Doesn't mean he's going to do that every time, but he has the power to do it. Read about all that God has done and how he fed 5,000 with almost no food, And he fed 7,000 with almost no food. He can do more than that. Because we can think that. So he can do more. Then it begins to change what you ask for. You begin to ask prayers that make God's veins begin to flow. Yes, he wants to hear about the little things too. Yes. But it begins to change what you think God can do, so what you think God you could ask him for. You begin to think, you know what? God could save my friend who seems to be as far away from God, as anti-God as I've ever seen. God said, I could do that. You begin to think, you know, God could heal my friend's marriage or some other relationship. I've seen God do it. I remember a man in our church in Oregon named Glenn, and he came and I met him. We were talking about his life, and he said, yeah, he said, I'm married, but it's just gone. We're still living together, but it just forget about it. I mean, just kind of laugh. It just forget about it. I said, hey, thank you. No offense, but starting today, I'm going to start praying for your marriage. And within a year, I'd see him, you know, occasionally remind, hey, praying for your marriage, Glenn. And he'd laugh. Within a year, Glenn and his wife showed up in church like newlyweds, just giggling and laughing. I've seen God do it. You just begin to, I mean, why not? Why don't I ask God? It's up to God. He doesn't, you know, there are other factors. People have choices to make. But it begins to make you not scared to ask God for the huge. I'm asking God for our offerings this year, not to meet budget, but there's a number I'm praying for that's significantly above our budget. I have a list of spiritual things that I'm praying that God would do here in our church. We're going to go to two services next week, praying that God would quickly populate those two services and that we'd have another problem on our hands. Praying that God would provide financially for us. I have a list of facility things, specific things that I'm praying for us that God would provide. Some of them are huge. I mean, huge, huge. And some of them are smaller, but just ask God. It's okay. Maybe you're not praying for the right thing at the right time. God's okay with that. You say, yeah, that's I got it. Here, I'll tell you what. I'll translate that. Instead, I'll answer it this way. God answered a big prayer in my financial life this morning. Just what are you asking God for? What are you thinking he can do? Because he can do far more abundantly beyond anything you could ever ask or think. What are you asking? What are you thinking? Fill your mind up with what God could do. For some of you, it's moral victory. You say, I think I'm beyond hope. And God said, no, I can do that today if you're willing. I set you free. It's going to maybe have a little pain in the beginning, but you're going to be so glad you said yes. For some of you, it's turning your finances over to the Lord. You say, there's just no way. I've done the math. And God says, that's cute, but this doesn't have anything to do with math. God says, I'm not interested in math. I wrote math. I'm telling you, you try God for 6 months and come back and tell me if it worked or if it didn't work. God says, don't do the math. God doesn't lead us to do crazy things. I'm not talking about, you know, surprise your wife that you just spent $1 million she didn't know about and blame it on God. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about following what God is saying for you to do. And that's one of the things he's saying for us to do. One of my sons turned 4. We were living in a home that belonged to a church. We were on a furlough from the mission field. And so, I don't know how many kids we had at the time, 20, 22, I don't know. I still don't know how many kids we have, but we didn't have all 8 yet, but we had several. And he'd received some learning toys and things. So one of them was a root beer making kit, okay? And so the kids were all having fun playing with his toys. And so Kathy said, hey, I'm going to make dinner. Could you keep an eye on the kids for a little bit? Well, I have another confession to make to you. I have a hard time sitting still. And so I watched the kids for a little bit. And then I thought of something I needed to do in the garage, you know. And so I went and did something real quickly in the garage. And I came back. Everybody was okay. I went back out to do a little bit more on that thing in the garage. And Kathy came out to the garage and said, you might want to come in here. And I did. Well, the root beer making kit, at the core of that kit was a vial that had the concentrate for the root beer. Well, this missionary home we were staying in, they had just put in new Berber carpet, just slightly off-white carpet. And so it had about a 1 foot, diameter, very, very dark brown stain in that white carpet. Well, my fault. My fault, I'll clean it up. Went and got 10 rags, hot water, went in there, scrub, 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 and it just made more root beer. 10 more rags, and it's just making more root beer. Next day, I go and rent one of those carpet cleaners from the grocery store, and every time I dump that big old tank of root beer out, I just began to lose my taste for root beer, and it just made more root beer and more. We got a great deal on that vial of root beer concentrate. Did that twice, you know, go to bed, think I got it. Next morning, no, there comes the root beer. Finally, I had to hire a professional to clean it. Fortunately, nobody from the church ever came over and saw what I'd done to their Berber carpet. But it's just, you can't believe how much root beer that thing made. And Paul says, you could not believe in your wildest dreams how endless the power of God is. And he says, all I'm praying is that you'd let him fill you in your inner man with the fullness of God. And some of us today, we just need to do business with God. Some of us, there are things that we'd say, you know what, part of the reason I'm not living the fullness of Christ is because I'm putting so many other things in my life, my heart, that are contrary to him. Some of you would say, I'm not living the fullness of God because I don't know him for sure. And I'm just begging you, don't even leave this place without coming to know Christ. Some of you would say, well, the reason I'm not living in the fullness of God is that I'm really not spending any time with him. And on, he's been speaking to you in ways that I didn't even say anything about. But I'm encouraging you today. We're going to pray in a moment. We're going to sing for you to just let God tell you, is there anything that needs to change in your walk with him? Are you missing out? And would you just say yes to him? Some of you just need to come and just line line the front of the altar, the front of the stage here, and just spend some time with God. Some of you need to come and take a pastor by the hand and say, I want to know Christ as Savior. I want to join this church. I want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. We've got some baptisms coming up. We'd love to schedule you along with that. Many other ways that God's spoken to you, and you just need to step out and say yes to him today. Let's pray together.